Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How are you? How the hell is everybody doing? You all good? I've always thought that a show would be a lot better if you can hear the host. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what happened there. But we're all good now. We're all good now. And you know what? When we're all good now, game two tonight in the West. Last night, another horrible game in the NBA with Miami and Boston. I think the Heat are in a lot of trouble. I really do. I think Boston is, when you look at the rosters, I think Boston's a little bit better. Miami could be in a lot of trouble here hitting the road now for games three and four. They got annihilated last night. All right, Will Zalatoris leading the PGA by 1 at 8 under par. Again, the West, Dallas, I can't imagine them shooting as bad as they did in game one. So keep that in mind. All right. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's get this show rolling here. And why don't we start with Nando. Nando, how are you today, sir?
How's it going, Grant? You had me worried there for a couple minutes.
You had me worried, too. I had no idea that no one could hear me. My Bluetooth got disconnected without me knowing it. But I'm back. I'm all good. What can I do for you, buddy? It's good to hear your voice.
Likewise, my brother. Likewise. Man, can you tell me, how does a playoff team in the Eastern Conference Finals get smacked like that on your home floor? Like, should I be concerned? Because I'm honestly concerned.
You better be concerned. I think the Heat are in a lot of trouble. I thought, listen, without Horford and Smart, the Celtics had the lead at halftime. Jimmy Butler saved them with the big third quarter. But I think that gave Boston some confidence. Now they get their guys back. They're going home. You should be very concerned heading into Boston for games three and four. Absolutely, you should be concerned.
And I am especially because you know better than anybody, role players at home. That's a real thing. Am I right?
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm expecting Grant Williams to have a big game three and four, Peyton Pritchard, all of these guys. So I'm worried. And another thing I'm worried from a Heat's perspective, I'm curious to hear your take on this. Bam Adebayo, he is such a special, talented player. He's so gifted. He's amazing at defense, don't get me wrong. But he just, I don't know what it is. He just does not want to be aggressive. He's barely taking shots. I mean, one game, yeah, he's had, I think, 10 shot attempts in these two games, and he's supposed, yep, to be our second best player. I mean, he's got to be more aggressive. Am I right?
100%. Absolutely does have to be more aggressive. You know, it's interesting. Before this series started, I talked to a guy that covers all of the games for Boston, but he doesn't work for the Celtics. He covers both the NFL and the NBA, and he's one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever spoken to. I mean, the guy knows everything about, and he talks to coaches. I mean, the guy is great. And he told me he thought Boston was going to win this series because he thought that they were going to out-physical Miami, and that by the time this series got over, that they would wear down the Heat, particularly Jimmy Butler. Now, I can't make that observation based on two games, but Bam Adebayo does have to get more aggressive offensively. I'm just looking at the matchups here, and without Kyle Lowry, who's now missed 8 of 10 games, and listen, Miami's played well when he's been out, but I think when you break it down, when you're at this level, okay, when you're in the conference finals and you're missing a guy that's led a team along, let's be honest, with, you know, Kawhi Leonard, but I mean, Kyle Lowry was the point guard. I really believe they're missing that. I don't think people are talking about that enough. I particularly think that's a significant absence for the Miami Heat.
I agree with you 100%. I see he's listed as questionable, I believe, for games three and four, yep, for the rest of the series. But, you know, it's a 1-1 series. You're going on the road to Boston. He's coming off the hamstring. He's a little bit older. He hasn't been, yep, hasn't had a playoff rhythm in him. How much can we honestly expect? This is, man, Grant, I'm stressed out.
I know. You know, I think you and I talked about this when, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe when they signed Kyle Lowry, The one thing that concerned me about that and this Heat team, they were a little long in the tooth, and I was a little concerned. I love Lowry. I told you I love Lowry, but I also said I'm a little worried about a long season and what happens when we get to the springtime when the playoffs start, and here we are, and he's got a hamstring issue. That would concern me that he's questionable, and you expect him to step on the floor and be Kyle Lowry and not have a setback. I think that's unrealistic. So yeah. Listen, I'm not in the training room. You're not in the training room, but hamstrings are hamstrings. He's not 20 years old anymore. That would be a big concern for me if I'm looking at this from Eric Spoelstra's point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. And I went to game three in Philly of the previous round where, you know, Lowry was out and then he came back for that game three and then they shut him down again. That game three, he looked bad. I mean, he had no legs under him. He was kind of pacing. It wasn't really like full on go. I think he was 0 of 6 from three. And honestly, the Heat fans started to question, is it better to even play without Kyle Lowry because of the injury? So, I mean, hey, I guess we'll see how it goes. It's 1-1 at the end of the day, but man, it doesn't feel good from a Heat's perspective.
No, well, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, not that I have to tell you this or anyone else. Miami better figure out a way to win one of these two games or they're not going to win the series. I mean, they're just not. They absolutely have to figure out a way to go up and win a game in their building. And I'm not very optimistic based on what I've seen in the first two games. I mean, Butler was Superman in game one in that third quarter. Is he going to have to be Superman every quarter for the Miami Heat to win a game up there? And you're right about Adebayo. But, you know, the one thing about Miami, too, they didn't shoot the ball well from downtown until I think they got back to Miami for that game five. All right. And they started shooting better from three and six. I mean, they got to hit their threes too, but you're right about Bam Adebayo. It's a very good point that you made. But with all of that said, you know, I think if Boston plays their A game, I think Miami's in a lot of trouble. You know, if they catch Boston where they're a little bit off, then yeah, I could see Miami winning a game up there, but I expect Boston to play very well in both games three and four. I'd be surprised that Boston does not play well in both these games.
Yeah, I agree with you. If there's any chance we got to steal one on their home floor. If not, going down 3-1,
yep,
coming back to
you're
Miami.
Done.
Yeah, unfortunately, man. Nice talking to you, Grant, for sure, man.
Mando,
looking forward for the rest of the show today.
You have a great weekend, buddy.
You as well, bud.
All right, appreciate it. All right, again, I thank for everyone's patience. I was not aware that for the first few minutes of my show that I was not on with a Bluetooth disconnection, but that's okay. It's all good now with Eli. Hello, Eli. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Grant. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Eli, what's up? Yes, sir.
Awesome. Yeah, glad that I can hear you again as well. So,
yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I know both of us have watched basketball games and postseason games for a very long time. Have you ever seen a situation with this many blowouts in a postseason?
No, right now it's the third most blowouts in NBA playoff history of games of 25 points or more. Third most, and we still have a round and a half to go.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I've never seen anything like this. And I guess it's probably just the fact that all these teams are shooting threes all day long, and then if
yep.
one team goes 4 for 20, then it's over, right?
Amen. 100% correct. Absolutely correct. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
It's super unfortunate because, you know, I'm used to seeing a lot of close playoff games. And now it's like, you know, but I usually will say, hey, I'll tune into a game in the second half. And by the time it gets to the second half, the game's already over. So I'm sure that's being reflected in the ratings as well, right?
I think it's an indictment of how the game's played right now. The game has gotten completely carried away with 3-point shooting. And I think it's really diminished the game myself. I really believe it's really hurt the game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Hey, I got one other question for you, switching gears a little bit into NBA ownership. You're going to know a lot more about this, obviously, than me or anyone else. But the way that teams are owned, specifically, you know, Vivek and with other teams, with other owners that are not great, how is it that they have that much more power over their organization than, for example, any other industry? Because, like, with Apple, you know, they have the board of directors and they can oust them.
Sure.
Why is it with NBA owners you don't have, like, checks and balances there?
Great question. I'm going to put you back in the audience just because of some background noise, okay? So thank you very much. Because they have a contract that lists them as managing general partner. And in their contract, it gives them the autonomy. It gives them the power to run the franchise and be the final say and the ultimate say in anything that occurs with the franchise. It's almost like a dictatorship. All right. What they say goes. Like, for instance, give you a great example. This week alone, Vivek Ranadive has named his daughter the assistant general manager of the Stockton Kings. I will 100% guarantee you that no one else was involved in that decision. Okay. I will also 100% tell you this because I know it to be factual, that one of the edicts from Vivek Ranadive to any of the three finalists, Steve Clifford, Mark Jackson, and Mike Brown, were that Doug Christie had to be part of the coaching staff. It was a non-negotiable item. All right. So no one else was involved in that. And Vivek can do what he wants. If Vivek wants to have his daughter take over and be the general manager instead of Monty McNair tomorrow, he could do that and nobody could say a word. Now, I know that's not going to happen, but I'm using a far extreme example. The question, Eli, or the answer to your question, is the way the contract reads in the NBA. It's the same reason why James Dolan is still the owner of the New York Knicks, because the NBA can't do anything, even though he's been a horrible owner for the Knicks. The number one market where the franchise has been dismal for most of his tenure, the NBA can't do anything. They can't. So unless you break the law or you are caught on video, similarly to what Donald Sterling went through, the league and the rest of the ownership group is powerless to remove an owner from their position as managing general partner. Now, there are ways to influence an owner to change how they go about doing their business, but that's all it is. It would be an influence. There's nothing that any of the minority owners can do. And trust me, they're frustrated. I know they are because I've spoken to them. There are very few people, very few. As a matter of fact, you can count them on one hand in the entire Sacramento Kings organization that are pleased with the way that Vivek Ranadive runs the organization. That's just the truth. All right. That's just the way it is. But everyone is powerless because he has full control and power of the team. That's the way it is. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Let's get to Ryan. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
What's going on, Grant? How you doing? It's nice to have you back. Napenstein was kind of creeping me out there a little bit for the first 2 minutes of the show.
You know what? I don't know what was going on. I thankfully figured it out thanks to Nando sending me a message, and I turned my Bluetooth off, turned it right back on, and we were good to go. So we're all good. What can I do for you?
Hey, I wanted to have a little fun since it's a Friday. You know, Ross Colton's game-winning goal for the Lightning with 3.8 seconds left in the playoffs NHL last night was pretty exciting. So it kind of got me thinking, what do you think is the most exciting play in playoff professional sports? You think it's a NBA buzzer beater? You think it's a walk-off home run in the MLB? Do you think it's a Hail Mary in the NFL? Or do you think that it's, you know, a two out?
I think it would be a penalty shot in an overtime game in the playoffs in hockey.
So we've talked about playoff hockey, but if you had the chance to call any of those three things, what would be the one that you
hockey? And night and day above any other sport, hockey in a heartbeat. Absolutely. And I will tell you this, and I don't normally say this, you know me, all right? I don't normally talk about myself. I don't normally brag, but I can guarantee you this, okay? I could do a much better job than a lot of the announcers we've heard announcing hockey on ESPN in these playoffs. Some of the announced teams have been dreadful. They've been horrible. I'll tell you who did a great job, who I was very proud of, because he's a very good all-around announcer, and I had never heard him do hockey before, but Bob Wichusen is the radio voice of the Jets. He's also doing coverage right now on the PGA. And Bob did a great job calling some of the hockey games. But I will tell you, some of the hockey announcers that ESPN has used, particularly in the first round, were absolutely awful. It was embarrassing. You know, you go from TNT and TBS with their announced crews to ESPN, and it's the difference between night and day. So I could do hockey. That's always been my best sport. And again, I'm blessed that I got a chance to do the NHL for a couple games in the 95 season for the Sharks. But I would do hockey in a heartbeat. And I'd work for free, actually, if I could call the National Hockey League.
Well, I didn't get a chance to hear the games, but I'm sure they were good. I mean, how hard is it, and tell me if I'm taking up too much time, how hard is it to follow the puck when you're doing play-by-play with hockey?
It's not hard if you know the game. It's really not. Some of the difficult situations, some of the arenas for hockey that you announce in, you're up all the way at the top of the building. So you anticipate where the puck's going because you know the game and you watch the game. I've never had a problem following the puck. So the biggest challenge in hockey is you absolutely have to know name to number instantaneously when you're announcing hockey, because you do not have time to look down on your roster in the middle of a play. So you have to have name to number completely memorized on both rosters. Now, if you're doing your team, then you know it. But if you're doing another team, you absolutely have to know that number 4 is so-and-so and number 22 is so-and-so instantaneously. You do not have time to look down on the roster. So I would think that is one of the biggest challenges. And another challenge, if you're up very high, sometimes it's very difficult to read the numbers on the jerseys. So that's when you need to know the lines, because most hockey teams have the same lines out on the ice all the time. So they'll use 4 lines of 3 and 3 lines of defensemen. Sometimes they'll shore it up to 3 lines and 2 lines, you know, in the third period. But generally speaking, those are the 2 things in hockey. But following a puck, I've never had a problem. If you know the game, if you've been a hockey fan, that's not really that hard.
Very interesting. So does that mean you don't have a spotter typically when you're broadcasting hockey?
No, you don't. A spotter would be worthless in hockey, because a spotter wouldn't have – you would have – what's a spotter going to do in the middle of the play? I mean, the play is too fast. A spotter would do nothing other than get in my way. I would never want a spotter in hockey. I don't even know if there is such a thing as a spotter in hockey, to be honest with you.
Very good. Well, hey, I hope you have a great rest of the weekend.
You too.
Thanks for the show, and be listening. Have a great one.
Hey, you too. Take care.
You too.
So very good. Great question about, you know, the sports. I would think, you know, I think sudden death in an NFL playoff game is unbelievably exciting. You know, Hail Marys that end games, yes. But, I mean, each sport has its own niche, you know, a walk-off home run. I mean, I've interviewed Joe Carter numerous times. I mean, think about what he did. You know, his game-winning home run, you know, to end the World Series and give Toronto their first championship. You know, that doesn't really get much better than that. So it's a very good question, though. Excellent question. All right. Why don't we move along? We get to some more phone calls here on this Friday edition of Listen App. And we will get Rachel up on stage. Rachel, hit your microphone icon, and then you'll see a little green dot come up. And that way I will be able to communicate with you. So once you just locate that little microphone on your device, you just hit that, and then you and I will be able to have a conversation. All right, Rachel, I'll tell you what I'm going to do while you look for that. I'm going to put you back in the audience, and then we can do it all over again once you just get familiar with your device and hitting that icon. Again, tonight, game 2, Dallas and Golden State. I don't believe you'll see the Mavs shoot as poorly as they did in game 1. If they do, you'll have another, you know, blowout loss. I don't know if Dallas will win tonight, but I certainly expect them to play a lot better. I expect them to play a lot better. So we've had a couple of real good questions already here on the Friday edition of Listen App. We'd love to hear you coming up next. So all you got to do is hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we will get you right on. you have, hard to believe that we're already, I mean, I can't believe this, that next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Where on earth does the time go? It is freaking May 20th. Now, I did a rant on this today, and I would love to get your take. I have always been a critic of studio shows in sports going out into a live audience. I think it's the most ridiculous, stupid thing. I used to tell the folks that televised the Kings games how absurd their live shows on the concourse were with the fans behind the talent. I used to say, turn your talent around. You got a beautiful state-of-the-art arena. Turn your talent around so that the court and the arena is their background, and shoot the fans coming in and out of commercial break. All right? That is just, to me, TV 101. But oh no, they want the intoxicated fans, the excited fans, the fans making faces, the fans with stupid signs, behind the talent, acting like idiots on the screen, so that when you are trying to hear what the talent is saying, either you can't or you're too damn distracted by somebody that wants to act like a fool on camera. All right? So I did a rant on this morning. TNT gets what they get for taking their show out of a controlled environment and putting it out in the crowd. All right? And you heard what happened. A couple of things happened. Now, I have the utmost respect for Charles Barkley. I love the man. I love being around him. He does so many things for people and so many good deeds that you never hear about. He has a heart just like you cannot believe. But I got on him on my rant this morning. I thought what he said to the heckler before game one is 100% crossing the line, unacceptable, and uncalled for. It's not funny, okay? Even though there were those in the crowd that you could see laughing, it's not funny, all right? There's a better way to go after your hecklers than saying what Charles did. It's wrong. It's a bad look for TNT. It's a bad look for Charles. But TNT gets what they get. If you're going to take your studio show out of a controlled environment and you're going to put your studio outside where the fans are, then you get what you get. All right? I don't feel sorry for you. These network sports executives that think they got to reinvent the freaking wheel. Keep it simple. I'm tuning into your show to hear what your analysts have to say, your studio host. Okay? I'm not tuning into the show to see some nitwit making faces and acting like a fool because they can see themselves on camera and they want everyone to see how stupid they look. That's not why I'm watching the studio show. Okay? So you want to bring your show out to have Charles Barkley antagonize the fans by talking about how much he hates San Francisco, then that's what you get. That's what you get. You're going to get the chance from the fans, and you deserve that. So I have no sympathy at all for what happened the other night before game one. But Charles Barkley is out of line, and nothing will happen to him. But, I mean, to make a comment like that is, and I know Charles doesn't care. I know Charles well enough. He doesn't care. All right? I can guarantee it didn't bother Charles one bit. But it was wrong. Okay? It's wrong. It's just flat out wrong. I don't think it's funny. You know, I don't think it's justified. I don't think you can say, well, it's Charles just being Charles. No, it's not just, you know, you can't just do that. You know, at some point, enough is enough. And again, this is someone coming. It's coming from someone that loves the man. And if he was standing in front of me right now, I would tell him the same thing. I would say, Charles, come on. You can't say that. And he'd be like, yeah, I can. I go, Charles, that's a bad look. You're Charles Barkley. All right. You're working on TNT. All right. You can't say that to a fan. All right. You just can't. He's like, the hell I can't. Yes, I can. I'm like, Charles, it's a bad look for you. You're better than that, Charles. I know you. I know you're trying to be funny, but sometimes it's not funny. That's how I see it. All right. If you want to comment on that, hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we will put you right on. Again, basketball tonight coming up at 6 o'clock Pacific, game two with Dallas and Golden State, the Rangers and the Hurricanes from Carolina, and Edmonton and Calgary, both home teams, up one love in that best of seven series.
Hey, folks, let's face it. After a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I've got to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day. That is until I found ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. And hey, I'm not going to lie, I'll be honest with you. I was a little on the fence about ZBiotics initially, but then just recently, I was at my buddy's 60th birthday party. They had rented out a restaurant for the entire night, so I gave it a shot. Let me tell you something. It's the real deal. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, reunions. Hey, there's a lot going on. Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to ZBiotics.com/Grant to get 15% off your first order when you use Grant at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So, hey, if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, head to ZBiotics.com/Grant. Use the code GRANT at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
All right, why don't we get to some more phone calls right here on this Friday edition of Listen Up. Hope you're on your way to a fabulous weekend. And we say hello to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, you know, that Charles, I heard your rant today, and then the Charles thing. You know, it's just a clear case. You know, I like Charles. I mean, straight. But it's another clear case of double standards in the media. I mean,
of course there is.
If you had said that, or, you know, any other Caucasian, I don't even know if I should go there, if they would have said that, be fired immediately. No, if
that's correct. They would be they would not be allowed to go on and do their job. That's correct. They would be removed before the show began. That is 100% correct.
Yeah, they would be taken off the set intermission or whatever, you know, and like I heard Patrick Beverly on the Chris Paul thing and what he was saying. Then I heard him interviewed afterwards saying how Chris Paul's untouchable because he was a ex-president of the Players Association. But
right, yeah, I heard him.
Yeah, but when you say something, you know, about him, you know, everybody gets all up in arms and then, but they're allowed to criticize each other. But again, if a commentator of a certain color says something, it's automatically racist, you know?
Well, I got into this either earlier in the week or last week. I came down hard on Draymond Green for basically insinuating that Christopher Mad Dog Russo is a racist for something that happened when he was 9 years old because of a comment that he made on ESPN's First Take with J.J. Redick and Stephen A. Smith. And, you know, our country, I wasn't going to go here today, but I will. All right. I'll tell you, you know what the saddest thing is this week? I'll tell you, you're not going to be able to guess. So I'll give you a chance to answer, but I'm going to tell you what I think is the saddest thing that happened this week, other than people losing their lives in our tragic shootings. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Bronny James, LeBron James' son, okay, goes to the prom and puts his prom photos. And his date to the prom was a white girl, okay?
Oh, boy.
The outrage on social media from both verified users and unverified users attacking a 16-year-old young man, a black young man, taking a white girl to the prom, the comments were despicable. They were disgusting. They were so out of line and appalling. And it just makes me understand once again that in 2022, and it goes back to a conversation I had on this podcast with Dusty Baker, when we talked about what it was like going to the South in the late 60s as a black man. And he gave some stories. And after he was done, my follow-up question was, Dusty, fast forward now to 2021, because it was 2021. Do you feel, or it was 2020, actually, I said, Dusty, do you feel things are better now? And he said, in some ways, yes, but in a lot of ways, no, it's not any better than it was during that period of time in the late 60s. And you know what? I cannot walk in Dusty Baker's shoes, but I have ears, I have eyes. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I talk to many, many, many people where I live now in South Florida that are people of color. I've been very open and very honest with this. Most of my friends here in South Florida are people of color. And I say people of color because some don't want to be referred to as African-American because right. they're not. Others don't want to be referred to as black. I went out with a couple. They were both podiatrists. They live in North Miami, and we went to Key West with a group of people a couple of weeks ago, and we were chatting. And I just met this lady, Sharon, and her husband, Cher. And I said, let me ask you something. I said, "How?" And I will tell you, her skin complexion was very dark. So I asked, I said, hey, I'm just curious, because I've had this conversation with other people. I go, would you like to be referred to, if we're just talking about, you know, what your ethnicity is, what black, African-American? She goes, no, I'm neither. And I'm like, you're neither? She goes, no, I'm Latin. She goes, I'm from Panama. I'm not black and I'm not African-American. I said, wow, that is very interesting. And she proceeded to give me a 10-minute education on this, the topic. And so, so I'm going to go back to what I saw on social media this week from both verified users and unverified users. The fact that in America in 2022, a young black man cannot take a white girl to the prom without vile, vicious attacks is an indictment of how far we need to go in this country. It was despicable. It was wrong. And it was, it made me, it, I got, I was disgusted by what I saw on right. social media. It was horrible.
You know what they call that, right? You know
what do they call that?
It's reverse discrimination. That's what's going on now. And they want to separate all the races, and well, they want to create animosity and strife between, and they're not happy with everybody just getting along. And that's why they're just, I don't know. They just want to alienate everybody.
They were calling this girl, who no one knew, a gold digger. Okay, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And then more comments, even verified users. You know, you should be taking a person that looks like you to the prom. And why are you taking just a white gold digger? And all she wants is your money. And blah blah blah. I mean, it was disgusting. It was so horrible. It was
terrible,
awful.
Terrible. I mean, it's like going back to the late 50s, early 60s, you know?
It's awful. Our country is so messed up. It is so divided. There are so many issues in this country that I really don't believe I'm going to see any light at the end of the tunnel in the rest of my life. And this is just one area that is so – our country is so divided right now, both politically – And I didn't want to say in terms of race, but when I see these type of things happen, then it leads me to believe, yeah, we are still so divided racially in this country that it is beyond belief that in 2022, this country can be as messed up as it is. And let's not kid anyone. Our country is messed up right now.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
All right. You have a good weekend.
You too, Grant. Bye.
And I see a lot of great things. And when I talk to my friends down here in Miami, and we talk about every single topic that comes up, do you know that a lot of my friends down here have told me, goes, hey, we're our own worst enemy. And I'm like, really? They go, oh yeah, we are our own worst enemy with a lot of issues involving race. And I'm just like fascinated when they tell me that, because if I would say that, then I would be, I'm racist. Okay. Or I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, because I've had these conversations over and over and over again with a variety of people of color from different backgrounds, different parts of the world. Okay. Different genders. I mean, I've had hours and hours and hours and hours of conversations about all of these things. And I've had multiple conversations telling me, yeah, we're our own worst enemy in a lot of these things. And I can't disagree with that. I can't say that, but I can't really disagree with that in certain instances. I really can't. But what happened with LeBron James' son and his date to the prom as two 16-year-olds is just an absolute sad-ass indictment of what's wrong with our country when it comes to race. Just one more example of what's wrong. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. All right, let's get to some more phone calls right here on Listen App with Eli. Hello, Eli.
Hey, Graham. Sorry about the noise earlier. I'm in a public room. If it's better or not
no
now.
Problem.
Yeah, so I saw those LeBron's son photos, and I had no idea about, you know, the issues surrounding it that you just discussed now. I really had no idea. That's definitely very unfortunate. So there's
horrible.
Definitely a lot of, yeah, it is. And I agree with you completely. So there's definitely some room for pessimism in that sense when you see some things like that. But would you say that you still see some notes of optimism buried somewhere underneath here, like in whether it's in your personal life, without going into detail about maybe some professional pursuits you have or otherwise? Do you ever see any room for hope or anything that might be going the other way?
Absolutely. I do give hope. And that's a fabulous question. I'm really hoping to take this show, which right now is still in its baby steps, and I'm talking about both my podcast and this show, and going high up the ladder, so to speak. And when I get to that point, and I'm hoping it's going to be in the next couple of months, I'm going to be talking about all kinds of topics on my shows, not just sports. And I'm going to try to open up people's eyes and not be afraid to talk about quote unquote delicate topics that might offend people. They need to be talked about. We need to hear the truth. We need to stop with the woke BS in our country, because there's too much of that going on. And I'm working on something right now I can't really talk about. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition. I hope it does. But if it does, that's going to be that's going to be the next direction of my broadcasting life. That's what I want to do.
Okay, that's good. So there is some optimism there. So one other quick question on that
yep.
same note, and you know, feel free to not, you don't need to go into specifics or feel free to not answer at all, but do you think that in the last 2 years, since all that unfortunate situation went down with you, do you think that have some people maybe reached out to you that felt like they couldn't have before? Have some people apologized, or have some people just kind of come around now 2 years later, where now that things are a little bit, would you say that you've seen that a little bit or not?
I haven't had anyone apologize to me at all. Not one person has apologized to me. I have had many, 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 many people tell me that they feel awful for me and that what happened to me was wrong. I had lunch when I was in Sacramento 3 weeks ago with Jerry Reynolds and one other individual who I'm not going to mention by name because of what his job was. He just retired in Sacramento. He had a very... I would say he had a very important job and is extremely well connected in the area. And he told me, and it's the first time I had talked to him in about 6 months. And he said to me, he goes, I know you probably already know this, but he goes, in the last 2 years, I haven't had one person in any of my circle, both people I know or don't know, when your name comes up, that I said, oh yeah, I agree with what happened to him. Not one. So when I hear things like that, it makes me feel good. It validates that I should not ever be sorry for what I said. I'm never going to be sorry for what I said. That's how I was raised. That's what I always was taught, both in my house and at my church, that all lives matter, every single one. I've said this since I lost my job. The very first principle in my church, there are 7 principles to being a Unitarian. And the first principle is the inherent worth and dignity of every person. That was taught to us in Sunday school when we didn't even know what the words meant, okay? And we had to be explained what that meant because we didn't understand what that meant because we didn't, I remember, we didn't understand what dignity meant. We didn't understand what inherent worth meant. So we were taught in very basic terms at a very young age about equality and everything. And that's so, you know, I'm never going to apologize for saying all lives matter, every single one, but we go around in circles here. There are, you asked me a very interesting question. Nobody's apologized to me, but I've had many people that don't know me that I've met in Miami. Nobody knows me down here. Again, I've said this for the last 2 years. I have not met one person that goes, oh, that's Grant Napier. So I don't deal with that down here. I have talked to some people, and when they find out who I am and what happened to me, they're like, oh, yeah, I heard about your story. Okay. But the conversations we have are generic and organic. I shouldn't say generic. They're organic because they start from the very ground floor where there's no preconceived notions about me or what I've done or what I've said. And again, I have the most amazing friendships down here. And again, for most of my friends down here are people of color. 90%, 95% of my friends. I mean, if you look at all my pictures, and I haven't even put any pictures out on social media because I know what people are going to say. They're going to, oh, well, gee, Grant's just grandstanding. He's just acting. He's just trying to say, oh, gee, look, you know, here are all my black friends. That's not how I operate. I haven't put them out on social media because I don't even want to go there. But I know who my friends are. But, you know, I don't know everything. I've learned a lot. I educate myself by asking questions. I'm not afraid to say that. I think that there are too many people in this country that are afraid to ask questions. Hey, there's nothing wrong with a question if you don't know the answer. Ask the question and become educated. I talked about the story reaching out to a person that followed me on social media, Sarah, who's, by the way, is called the show. And I noticed that on social media, she was transgender. So I sent her a direct message and I said, hey, would it be all right if we talked? I'd like to get your perspective on what's going on with Leah Thomas, the swimmer at Penn, because I can't walk in your shoes, or I'd like to get some more knowledge. And you know what? We had a phenomenal conversation on the phone for about a half hour. She and I now will exchange messages back and forth. And, you know, had I not taken the first step and said, hey, I want to educate myself and talk to someone that's transgender, I wouldn't have the knowledge that I have now. So I don't know why so many people in this country were afraid to reach out and talk to somebody that doesn't look like them, doesn't sound like them, blah, blah, blah. Too many people in this country are afraid to do that. I don't really understand why. I really don't.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Grant. I really hope we get to a place where people can just ask each other questions and have an open dialogue like you do on this show and like you do in your personal life, obviously. So I was just hoping that we're getting closer to that, but I don't know. I guess
we're not.
The verdict is the jury's still out. Maybe you think we're not. I hope we get there, though.
Thanks very much for the call. I really appreciate that. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Grant. You too.
When I say we're not getting there, certain areas we're bridging the gap, and in certain areas, the divide is growing. And when I see the outrage from so many people because LeBron James' 16-year-old son took a white girl to the prom, that just kind of sets me back and like, gee, we're not improving in a lot of areas. It's just, I don't know. It's, it's a sad, sad commentary when something like that occurs and there's that much venom and hostility from people because a 16-year-old son of a well-known athlete is taking a 16-year-old white gal to the prom, and people, among other things, are calling her a gold digger. I mean, you just really can't make it up. You really can't. All right. Zalatoris and Pereira are now at 8-under par at the PGA Championship. Justin Thomas currently in third at 6-under par as the second round of the PGA Championship is still going on at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. All right. And again, the cut line is projected and probably in all likelihood will be 4-over par. All right. And Tiger Woods, by the way, is within the cut line at 4 over par with 3 holes left. So he'll be around for the weekend if he goes even or better. All right. Again, the leaders are at 8 under with Zalatoris and Pereira. All right. Tonight, Game 2, the Warriors and the Mavs. I really appreciate the patience for the first couple minutes of the show when I thought I was on, but I was not on. But I'm glad that we got that all corrected. Coming up on Monday, just to give you a little forecast, at 10 a.m. Pacific, I will be on with Larry Krueger on Larry Krueger's YouTube live channel. I've really enjoyed doing that show with Larry. And, you know, who knows? You know, maybe that will turn into something big. Larry, obviously, with his Bay Area support, my support in the greater Sacramento area, we're getting excellent feedback to doing that show once a week. I've really enjoyed doing it and hope that we can continue that. That's going to be Monday on Larry Krueger's YouTube live channel. I will put out the link on my social media page as well on Twitter on Monday, so you'll be able to follow us along. That's going to be 10 a.m. Pacific on Monday, and then I'll have the show right here, Listen App, at 3 o'clock Pacific. So we got a lot of good things going on. By then, we'll have a couple of more NBA games under our belt. We'll know who is the winner of the PGA Championship and anything else that goes on between now and then. Of course, we'll break it down right here on Listen App. Always appreciate your support. Excellent calls today. Excellent calls. Really enjoyed the conversation. I love the fact that we're getting outside the box a little bit and really appreciate all the different calls. It means a lot. And for you fans of basketball, I hope that we can have a good game between now and Monday, right? Is that asking too much to have just one competitive game sometime this weekend in the NBA? Could we please do that? Please. That's my wish before we come back on Monday here on Listen Up. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Grant Napier saying so long.